This is Jeffrey Giuliano, VIP for verbal shenanigans has satisfied me in 5 minutes. So I highly recommend that you tune in because they're great guys. It's a good fun time, and I know you'll enjoy it. So tune in. Take it from VIP 4 from Squid Game, Jeffrey Giuliano. Do it now.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hello, everybody. Welcome on back to Verbal Shenanigans. Mike, we are, I like to call ourselves internationally famous now, not because of any of our work, but because of our last guest's work. So it feels really good to ride the coattails. I've been trying to ride your coattails.
It's not coattails, it's cape tails.
Yeah. It feels good to grab onto the back of the cape and just glide through life. So last week, if you're just tuning in, that's Mike. I'm Scott. We had our good friend Jonathan Antoine, very famous opera singer, but more importantly, just a really awesome guy. And once again, the Fantoins have come through in full force. They just love this guy. I hope they can love us a little bit. Like I've been trying to ride your coattails for a while, and it's just not working.
I mean, Scott, I mean, what can I tell you? When you're a pilgrim, when you're a demigod, when you have these things, I have so much power. Nobody can possibly withstand holding on to my coattails. You just blow off quickly, and I just go, I hope to see you one more time.
So there's a certain physical stature you have to be in to ride your coattails.
Oh, easily. You know, I mean, like, there's Olympic bodybuilders that strain from trying to hold on to these things.
The marathons have gone to your head now. Like, you run a marathon, suddenly there's no one that can compete with you. Your audience is ridiculous. They can't ride your coattails anymore. You're really isolating yourself in some ways.
I don't think so, Scott. I feel I know my boundaries. That's why I'd like to announce my 3-round exhibition with Mike Tyson next week.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, I figure I'd give the kid a break, you know. I told him no knockouts. But I mean, I didn't care if he tries.
Right.
But I told him I wouldn't. That's what calmed him down at ease, you know. I mean, he's got a small acting career, and I try to say maybe he should just concentrate on that. You don't want to come to this kind of rage, my friend. But he's up for it, and all. I'm going to shed a tear for him before the match starts. So,
well, so right before you guys touch gloves, you just have like one individual tear rolling down your face. Yeah.
You remember that Indian that cried when somebody threw pollution out?
It's Native American, Mike. You're a football team fan, and now you're throwing out those slurs out there. Like,
I am corrected.
Wow. You're getting canceled now. You're getting canceled.
Well, all right. Well, let's go back. You remember the Guardian that had the garbage thrown at his feet?
Yeah.
That's what they changed the name to, right?
You know, it'd be great. Like, if we got canceled, we'd have more listens than ever.
Like, we implore all you people who look to cancel stuff to come at us. Please tweet out everything about Verbal Shenanigans and the horrible things that we say.
Yeah.
And
like, we've never been like the offensive comedy podcast. Like, very easy to be like a blue podcast, if you will, like talk about dirty things. We generally don't. We more talk about our lives and whatnot. But if we've said anything offensive over the years, if you want to take my hibachi bit from last week and tweet out that Scott is in favor of all that, please do, because it might result in me and Mike having a career in this.
Yeah. Can you look at like the first like 20 or 30 episodes? I know we threw whatever humanly possible out there before we said maybe we should get a guest to talk to.
Yeah.
Like, go through those and all. You're going to find easy information to just go, they are done.
Now I'm going to mark it down on my phone. Delete first 20 episodes. And then it's going to be like under a grocery list, and I'm going to totally forget about it. But,
we're gonna have the pen in our hands, and we're about to sign the $1 million Spotify deal, and then somebody walks in. Hey guys, I just listened to episode 8, and I'll just throw the pen down.
Yeah.
Dang it. Oh.
Yeah, we're screwed either way. But I do want to thank all the fan twans, and just all the people with the good feelings you're throwing at us, the good vibes. I love that you're listening. I love that you enjoyed our interview. We tried to make it fun. So I guess that's a what do they call something in the hat? A feather in the Feather in the cap. Why? If you do something good, you're stuffing feathers in your hat.
I don't know. I guess like somebody really felt good and they killed a chicken and then they just plucked it and put it in their cap. Because it seems like something from the 1800s, and that seems like a common thing back then.
Like imagine like earlier this year we had Sam Calgioni on the show from Dogfish, which we hunted down for years. It was a guy that I always wanted.
7-year process.
Wanted on the podcast. Imagine I was like, finally accomplished something, and you see me today wearing my hat that I always wear with like a feather hanging out of it.
And Scott, Mets hat and a feather. I mean, I don't know that that mixes. I don't know.
Yeah, imagine I'm like, yeah, I just had a son, whatever, and put another feather in there, and every
like
week
the doctor's just looking at you like, what are you doing, Mr. Brennan? That's not supposed to be in the mercy room, sir. What are you doing?
Oh, these are my feathers and my cap from things I've accomplished in life. Oh, we got Dee Snider on the podcast. There's another feather, you know.
The sad thing is then everybody's like, that's a good idea. And then like December of next year when all your buddies have like 70 feathers and you still only have like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, we're stopping this. I don't need this.
And then you have to have like a feather, like what's worth a feather, like a scale of some sort. Like some guys would be like, yo, I had a good day at work today, feather. Yo, I got laid tonight, feather. Like you'd have to have some kind of system. What deserves a feather?
Well, I think it should just be like a bro code and all, because there will have to be some rulings. There'll be somebody's like, I'm on a diet and there was a slice of pizza in work and I didn't eat it. It's like, no. Don't you dare put a feather in your cap. That doesn't count. Well, you just listen to your body. That's all you did.
Let me ask you, like, if you had to put proverbial feathers in your cap, okay, for life accomplishments, and you had four, what feathers would you put in your cap? That's a good question. That's a very existential question right there.
I guess, I mean, unfortunately, it'd be like grown-up things, like buying the first house. Getting married, which would be weird during the ceremony, you know. She's coming in for the kiss, and I'm like, hold up, dear, let me put on, there's a cap.
You're just sliding the feather into
Dad,
your cap.
Dad, the feather? Dad, I told you to bring the feather!
Yeah, like your best man has to have the ring and the feather in his pocket, you know.
Let's see. What else would I do? I mean, I guess when I was younger and I made the all-star team in baseball one year, I probably would have. Well, I was like 10
you,
at the time.
You just went from these amazing moments in your life, and then you're like, I made the all-star team in it when I was 10 years old, and you're like, that deserves a feather.
Hey, I was a good player. Do not knock my abilities in Little League, young man.
Let me ask you, when you were playing baseball. Left field, of course. Yeah, you were probably really good at 10-year-old. Because we all know the best athletes are stuck in left field.
No, they're in right field, the worst ones.
The second worst ones are in left field. But so you were sticking a feather in your cap for being in left field of the All-Star game.
Well, making the team. It's a deal, okay? What's wrong? Why you gotta knock me for making the All-Star?
I'm just saying, like, you just said, like, I got married, I bought a house. Really great moments in your life. And then you're like, you know what? 10-year-old Berlo's All-Star team gets a feather, too.
All right, let me.
So that means, hold on. That means when your wife is walking up the aisle, you already had two feathers in your cap, and one was for your All-Star game.
Well, let me spin this around. So little,
okay.
Your little child, you know, it's like he's playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, yeah. Daddy, I made the all-star team. I won't put a feather in my cap. What the heck was that? You just had a starburst behind you.
I don't know what that was. Oh, that's my wife.
Okay.
I don't know if
now I lost my train of thought.
Okay, she doesn't want me. So we're okay. I know. It did look like something was happening behind me.
You piss me off too much, and all the lights explode like Carrie behind you.
Yeah, God. God strikes again, yeah.
Demigod, okay? Get it right.
Yeah.
But so your little son comes up to you and says, I'm so happy. I want to put a feather in my cap. You're basically going to go like, oh, hell no.
I didn't know your dad was holding your cap for the future. Like, you were like, oh, Dad, please save this feather for my cap.
What? I mean, we're basically saying we're bringing this to the world and all. This is now the new normal. When something really good happens, you put on the cap and then you stick a feather in it. So are you saying 10-year-old little baby Brennan makes the all-star team and you're like, I ain't giving you a feather. You got to work for that. Probably want a participation trophy too, huh, son?
I'm just saying at 40-something years old, Mike, where he's got two good feathers and then he's got a 10-year-old all-star team feather in his hat. I feel like you're really cutting yourself short there. Like, okay.
You're talking about like lifetime of things and all. I don't want everything to just be adult things. There's people that bought like 10 houses in their lifetime. They're like, BS, I ain't going to put a feather in every time I do that.
Yeah.
I swap houses, okay?
All right, fine then. What's your fourth feather?
Fourth feather of like biggest...
I don't know, something you're proud of.
I mean, I guess at work, at both my jobs, I've received like Employee of the Month or something like that. So that'd be a pretty big deal.
Did they give
Brennan family?
Did they get? Oh yeah, I have my son in the lap at the moment. Did they give you an employment feather? Like, oh, you know,
ooh,
yeah, like
I would like that.
Yeah, like you. You could have got a bonus, but you opted for the feather option. So here it is, big guy.
No, it's symbolism. I still want the check, but this is like the true symbolism of it all. Like when I went 10 years with that one job, that would have been nice how they do it. I mean, when I made 10 years in that last job, I remember what happens is you get like, it was like a really small check. I forget for what amount, but they give you a pizza party and they were like, Burley, what's your
favorite? They give you a pizza party?
Yeah, they did. So they're like, what's your favorite pizza? And I'm like, oh, I really like the buffalo chicken one that they do. But like, they get like 15 pies. They only get one buffalo chicken. If I wasn't there at the beginning, I would have gotten none slices because everybody saw it. It's like, oh my God, they got a specialty pie and everybody grabbed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get those are some good feathers. Those are some good feathers. I would say my feathers are gonna be. Mm-hmm. My feathers would be. All right, I gotta put my son on there, which I'll get to in a minute. I might be removing that feather very shortly after what.
Yeah, to clean up, but I digress.
Yeah, scoop it up with a feather. I think I would say the other feather in my cap is like recovering from a terrible situation in my life, like with my ex and being like left behind to fend that off, and I figured it out and was able to you know, move on with life and go on a better life. Like I don't, that might be an existential feather.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
But like gathering life back again, that would be another feather. I got to say, Mike, this podcast, I think I'm putting a feather in my hat for the podcast. What started as like some stupid thing of me like ranting in my room. At one point, I was working at a homebrew store doing podcasts by myself, pretending I was like Bill Burr, which is no fun. Guys, if you're starting a podcast, please get a co-host. It could be like a D-list co-host like we have, but please do not go the rant route because there's like one guy that can do it, and it's Bill Burr. And I'm not Bill Burr. Believe it or not, Mike, I'm not as funny as Bill Burr.
Now, Scott, I do recall your little niece being the co-host of that time. And I know that's what you were referencing 5 minutes ago, but I mean, the girl is only like six. So, you know, turn it down a little bit, but
dude, she's like 11 now. She's like 11. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Time flies. And then I think I would throw another feather. My last feather in my cap is, I think, would be like the trying and pursuing of stand-up comedy. Because I was a big, in college, I tried it a couple times, but put it off for like 8 years after that. And then like actually doing it and like making a little money off of it would be like the other feather in my cap. So those are my four feathers hanging out of my cap.
That ain't shabby and all, man. I don't appreciate you knocking down my all-star appearance, but we'll talk about that.
Well, you're part of my one feather, though. Like let's give ourselves a little credit. We have taken this show from us telling stories about your gay uncle with one leg to like bringing on Dee Snider and John Walsh and I don't know. Give us another big one.
Dee Snider, John Walsh, Mark Summers,
Trent Dilfer, all these kind of guys on the show. So I would put a feather in this cap just to, because this little thing has become kind of big in a little bit of a way. But
okay,
before we get to our guest, I gotta say, Mike, there is no. You made a joke the other day. There's no podcast that we ever do that, like, I'll schedule this on. We usually record Wednesday nights or whatever it is. And I would schedule this, and we were talking about it in the last month. Like, my son would be, like, puking or pooping or he's having a fit or whatever. Like, and I had a busy season, whatever. Mm-hmm. Tonight was no different. We had this big guest from Squid Game coming up. Big guest. So the whole day, wide open. I'm just going to go to work, come back, watch the kid. My wife will watch the kid while we do the interview. Didn't happen that way, Mike. So, 9 o'clock this morning, kid breaks out in a rash, has bumps and red marks all over him, okay? Ooh. So, I leave work, go take the full day, and I watch my son while my wife is able to work from home. So, it's a little stressful because I had a lot of things going on my plate at the, you know, Verbal Shenanigans is my main job, but my side job, a lot of things going on. There was a busy day in the office.
I mean, you may do this to make the millions. You do the side job to be around the people.
Yeah, right. To be a normal guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he decides that during the... So he had some kind of like ear infection kind of thing. We got to give him these antibiotics. Won't take the antibiotics. I was hiding them in bread. I was making medicine bread, literally like injecting medicine into bread and feeding him pieces. And he would take the bread and just throw it like across the room. Like he knew exactly what was up.
Did you think about using a better bread and all? Were you giving him some crappy ass white 99-cent loaf there? I mean,
it wasn't the best bread, but it wasn't the worst. It was Trader Joe's bread.
You got to do like pumpernickel or something like that. I mean, there's so much taste in there that it will almost add to the flavor of the medicine. So. Yeah.
So I'm watching the kid all day. My wife has to work at home. Her job is very stressful. There's a lot of things going on. So I watch him all day and I'm kind of exhausted. And I'm finally like, okay, now it's your turn, babe. And I hand my kid off to the wife. And then I'm like, let's just order food tonight. I can't cook tonight. We order Thai food. I'm like, how about you go pick it up for a change? Because I'm always the pickup guy. I don't know, like, when you guys order food, if you're the pickup guy.
100%.
Yeah.
I can't remember one situation. In fact, one of our few fights was, like, one time where she didn't, like, pick up the food she ordered, and she was like... I was actually like 10 minutes from home and she's like, I'm in the city. I just met Stacey Abrams. She's so cool. I'm like, did you order the pizza? Like I asked.
Yeah.
Oh no. And I'm like, it was just one of those things. I'm like, okay, I'm starving and now I got to wait 40 minutes and I got to pick out the pizza.
Yeah. So I sent her, and she's like, yeah, I'll go pick it up, which was cool, because it was like a bit of a stressful day. No, I'm sitting there. I put on a show, and he's just playing with his blocks and doing baby things. All of a sudden, I see, like, a little bit of, like, goop on the floor, like a little bit of substance. And I'm like, oh, maybe it was, like, from one of the pouches we give him, which is, like, a fruit thing. And my dog gets down from the couch, which is rare. He barely gets off the couch. And he's like, he's like smelling the goop. And I'm like, oh man, that's like, I'm like, no. I wipe it up. I'm like, it's like pouch stuff. I look over and I have the pouch stuff on my fingers. And I wiped it up with a napkin, but it's still on my fingers. And I'm like, doesn't smell like pouch stuff. And I look over to the left, and my son is crawling the other way. And there is explosive diarrhea going up his back. Literally, my son has like pretty long hair at this point. Literally in his hair, like clumps of, I'm sorry, shit. In his hair. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like fending off the dog from going at the spot. And then I'm like, oh my God, we got to get. And this is in the 20 minutes she went to leave for food. And I look at him. He's got shit on his socks, up his pants, all the way up through his hair. And I throw him in the bathtub with his clothes on. And I'm just like, we're going to rinse it. And I slowly took them off. And there's just like, I'm sorry for the audience, but there's this poo shrapnel flowing down into the drain. And I throw them in the bath and I'm washing them off. And there's, I now have poo shrapnel all over me. And this is Mike. Now, our interview was at 8 o'clock tonight. This is 7:10. Okay, so like I thought we were in the clear, just going to eat some food, and then I'll come right onto the podcast, do a half-hour interview, we'll be okay. And there is just poo shrapnel everywhere. I clean him up. I call my wife. I'm like, you got to come in here. Then I put his clothes down on the floor, and what do you think happens?
I'm going to guess Obi made another visit.
Yeah, so then the dog comes and starts sniffing. I'm like, no! And I got to put the baby down. And he's upset because he just had a bad experience. And he's crying. I'm pushing the dog down the stairs. Like, get out of here, you mutant. So I cleaned the poo experience up. Okay. And my wife comes in the door. And he's calmed down. He's clean. I put him in a new outfit. And we sit in the bed where we have a little TV that he can watch. And he's calming down. And we try to give him his medicine. And then all of a sudden he goes, and then just pukes all over our bed. So now there's puke all over my wife, all over the bed. I'm still covered in the foresaid poo, and there's this puke all over the bed. Now the dog comes running back up, and he's like, and it's like, get away, Obi. And we like have to change my wife. We have to change me. Like it was complete disaster. Till our interview was at 8 o'clock. It was 7:57, and I'm still like wiping off like shrapnel off of me. So again, you're completely right, Mike, like when you're like, oh, another like terrible experience. Yes, another one conveniently when we're just podcasting tonight.
So many things to decipher from this story, Scott. Like right off the – so how do you think it got into the hair? Do you really think he was like sitting down and it shot up?
I think he blew his diaper out so bad with like with like 1,000 PSI, like because he's kind of sick, like – And it launched out of his diaper.
Like, you got exactly to my point. No, I need some kind of like scientist or mythbuster to figure out what is like the most PSI or what's the minimum to shoot out of your butt and to crawl all the way up to your hair? Because that has to be some amazing number that could easily entertain somebody for an hour episode of Mythbusters.
It was outrageous. Like, it was like, you know, I'm like looking at a spot on the floor like, oh, what is that? And then it was like that shock and awe moment. Like, you turn to the left and go, oh my God. And I pick them up and I'm just covering it. And I'm sorry for the fans out there that are listening, but this is life. And I'm covered in it. And I threw him in the bathtub with his clothes on. And just rinsing him off. And I just watched it going down. Meanwhile, my wife is coming through the door with the food. She's like, you hungry? I'm like,
who wants Thai?
That's literally what we got, Thai food. And I'm like, I haven't eaten yet. And I'm kind of like, maybe I'll save that for lunch tomorrow. Because I'm pretty much do not want to talk about anything to do with food.
Yeah. Like, when you talk about, like, the poo arsenal blowing down the drain of the toilet, it made me remember when I heard an interview with Jake the Snake Roberts where he said that's the only place Andre the Giant could take a dump. He would have to take a dump when he's at a hotel in the shower because his rear end was so wide, there's no way he could do it in a regular toilet, and then he would just have to turn on
the turds. Oh, my God.
So your son is the next Andre the Giant. Congratulations, Scott. This is a monumental event. You know what, Scott? Grab that feather. Put it in your cap. Right now.
Right now.
This is a moment where you have to celebrate.
Yeah. To say it's been a little bit stressful would be an undersell. So, but I'm glad we got to do the interview tonight. So, Mike, who do we got?
Yeah, tonight we're going to be talking with somebody from Squid Games. Scott was just dealing with the squishy games, digress.
Yeah, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to an author, a producer, an actor, an activist. But you probably know him more recently from some couple films like Train to Busan Peninsula, or maybe Scorpion King 3, or probably the highly watched and amazing Squid Games on Netflix. We are going to be talking to VIP number 4, Jeffrey Giuliano.
It's Squid Game. Game with no S.
Well, that's season 2. It's like, there's more games. Add the S. Look at that.
With a Z, Squid Games. And
yeah, we got to make it exciting for the kids. And when you say the Z, they're like, oh, it's going to be radical.
Suddenly Method Man's in the cast. You're like, what the hell? But very excited to get Jeffrey on. So here's our interview with Jeffrey Giuliano.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got a very special guest. He's been an actor, he's been an author, he's a producer. You may know him recently from Squid Games as playing VIP number 4. Tonight we are chatting with Mr. Jeffrey Giuliano. Jeffrey, great to have you on. Thank you for joining us, being all the way across
the world,
the globe, or in Thailand. I guess the best way to start off with all the things we've done, as odd as it sounds, you are second Ronald McDonald we have interviewed on the show. We had Squire Friedle to start the year, and now we have you.
Well, it's a port for actors that don't have anywhere to go. When I got out of drama school, I had a master's degree in Shakespeare, which is a patently ridiculous degree that has no value whatsoever. and those days, you know, that's the thinking. What are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to be a movie star. Oh, okay. You know, so it's not quite that easy, as I'm over 60 and I'm just starting to get somewhere. Yeah. But anyway, I took the job and they ultimately let me go when they found out that I was a vegetarian, because they thought it would be very bad publicity if indeed the public knew that Ronald McDonald didn't eat that shit.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Now, wow. Is there like a... is it like a stiff competition to become like a Ronald McDonald? Because I know there was several over the years, but Like, what is the audition process like to become that?
The audition process is an acting thing, but also they do psychological tests to make sure you're not a pedophile, because they don't want that.
Wow.
They don't want vegetarians, and they don't want pedophiles.
Seems like that's a weird two items they put down on the list. All right, we went through everything. Those are the only two we're not okay with. But
yeah, women used to, when I would appear somewhere, women used to give me their key to their hotel room. Sometimes they'd put cocaine in my hand and stuff like that, and I had to immediately. Sometimes the kid would rip off the wig, you know, and I have to just run away. So there was a lot of weird stuff. I mean, I had groupies. I had Ronald groupies that wanted to have sex with Ronald McDonald. And, oh, no, leave the shoes on. So.
Wow.
And it's not, you know, I know that when I die, they're going to say, Squid Game actor, former Ronald McDonald, succumbs after long illness. So it's not going to be the 32 books I wrote. It's not going to be any of the charities that I support. It's just going to be that. But that's okay.
That's okay. At least you'll get a headline. When I die, they're just going to like take the recycling out, and that's going to be the end of me. So, So you said you went to school for acting. So I guess your background early on was you did have interest in acting and pursuing it. What
as long as I can remember being alive, I've wanted to be an actor.
Nice. Were you in like plays everything. As a kid? Okay.
Everything. Community theater, Alice in Wonderland, Huckleberry Finn. My mother took me to lessons, all that stuff. All the stuff that they don't seem to do now. People just kind of wandering off the street and they're suddenly an actor.
Right.
Hmm. So with all that intense training and interest and that, it kind of circle back to what we talked about. You've authored quite a few books, a lot about the Beatles and some other bands. Was it just this is a new avenue, or were you kind of like giving a break to acting, or how that
No. So when acting isn't happening because it's this perpetual search for work, you have to do other things. And what happened with this is I made $9 million from those books from 1984 to 2006. I don't have that money now, just very small portion of it. But the books became so overwhelmingly popular that I was kind of forced to do it because I had all these children and a wife, which are all grown up, and my wife passed away. So it's all different now. But at the time, I had to maintain a big house, and we had an animal rescue place, and we ran a food bank for the poor, and we did charitable work in India. So I had all this financial and all these other children and stuff with their demands. I had a lot, as I used to say to my wife, I had a lot of people on my shoulder that ride on my shoulder. You know, I used to say it like this: when I want to eat lunch, when I'm hungry, I have to buy 12 people a sandwich, the entourage.
Yeah.
So it was something I did for money, you know. I don't care about the Beatles, man. I'm over 60. I've moved on. I don't like it when people can't move on from shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's retarded, you know? It's like, man, I like the Rolling Stones, man. How old are you? 78. You know, well, you came to this earth and you invested yourself in the liking the Rolling Stones, not even being one, liking this band, and liking the Beatles.
Well, there's an opening in the Stones now if you want to join. Well,
I mean, it's delusional. I mean, there was a graveyard near my big house in upstate New York, and I used to walk my sheepdog in there, and the Buffalo Bills are the team around there. And on the gravestones, most gravestones had Buffalo Bills stickers, memorabilia, teddy bears. And I thought, is this what these people are taking to eternity?
Yeah.
Is this what they lived it, and now they're taking it with them, you know? Like King Tut's tomb has all this Buffalo Bills stuff in there. Come on, what are you doing? So I prefer, especially since I've got one foot in the grave and another foot on a banana peel, I like to try to do things that have some meaning, that move the needle forward and are progressive on every level of everything that I do. So it's not just some oh, Jeffrey wants to be a movie star and live in some big house. It would be like, Jeffrey wants to be a movie star so that he can fund his charities, do some good work, and, you know, try to be helpful in life. That's just the way I'm wired up.
Well, let's talk about the charity portion. So we know you've written books, you acted along the way, but what charities are you involved in, and what brought you, what got you into them?
Okay, so when I was 15, I met members from the Hare Krishna movement. I had no idea what it was about. They gave me a Bhagavad Gita. I read the Bhagavad Gita, and I've been a kind of a member of ISKCON ever since. And it's only done me good, only done me good. Where all these people I went to college with, they smoked cigarettes, they took drugs, they ate meat, and they look like they're 90 years old. And I'm telling you, I went for a physical recently, and the guy said, blood pressure medication? And I said, I don't take that. All right, how about your diabetes medication? When did you start that? No, I don't take any of that. Mr. Giuliano, if you want an accurate representation of your health, you're going to have to be honest with me. Now you're over 60.
Yeah.
Over 60, there's got to be something wrong with you. I said, well, doctor, there's nothing wrong with me. So I attribute that to the clean living. So anything about God, I don't know about that, you know? But I do know if you live clean, it's a better deal. So I got involved with the charities because I used to go to India to meditate, and I saw people that were starving and dying on the street. And I thought, this is not right. This is something I can do, because I had so much money from those books that I thought, well, I said to my wife, look, if we just go to Delhi and have them bring a truckload of rice, some powdered milk, some raisins, some flour, and we put it, have some guys hire some people to put it into bags for about, I think, 3 days food, and give them a bottle of some big bottles of water and, you know, and some fruit and vegetables, they can go home and they, you know, they can live a little bit longer. Well, you're trying to feed India. Are you crazy? No, you can only do what you can do. And there's an old saying, for the forest to be green, each tree must be green. So I'm trying to make myself green in the forest and do my part. Whatever you do or don't do, I can't be responsible for that. So I'm involved in a charity since the 1990s that feeds people that are going to die if they don't have food in India.
Right.
That's it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, speaking of India, I saw an article recently where you were actually stuck in India for
6 months.
6 months. Yeah.
With no money. I had no money whatsoever. I came for 2 weeks with my 13-year-old son to show him India, and we didn't bring the credit cards. I bought $2,000, and then they closed the airport. We couldn't get out of India. We were trapped. And we didn't have any, the credit cards were locked up. I had no one to go to my apartment and get them and send them to us. So we had no money for 6 months, and we're literally living like the beggars that I've been helping since the 1990s. And I want to tell you, they took care of us. They shared what little they had with myself and my son. And they didn't like, what's he doing here? It was just like accepting. They just accepted it, you know? So I say, that we're all beggars at the gates of the temple. Nobody knows where they come from. Nobody knows where they go. This has nothing to do with Squid Game, so we can talk about acting if you like. But look, I want to be a well-rounded person. You know, I'm not just some Hollywood retard that, you know, just wants to, you know, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. I want to do. I want to be. I don't want, I've been a multimillionaire. I have been that. And I know exactly what that's. I stayed at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I had limousines, signed autographs when I was a writer, went all around the world for Dorchester Hotel in London, hung out with George Harrison, Pete Townsend, these people, you know. So I know what that is. And I know there's a lot of fucked up people that are rich. Rich don't mean shit.
Right.
So I just try to have something that's a little, you know, more important than that. However, at the same time, you know, I was in Squid Game. I was in Peninsula Train to Busan. I was in Scorpion King 3. I was in Hard Target 2. I was in a lot of these popular movies, and that's okay. It's good. I enjoy it. I'm an actor. It's something I do, and I want to do more of. And, you know, I have a little beef, just a little tiny one. There's an old saying, how do you make an actor complain? Give him a job. So I don't complain about working, but I just have a question for everybody.
Okay.
How is it? Okay, first of all, you don't know this. There's 14 stars, according to Netflix, of Squid Game. Okay. I'm number 14.
Okay.
But I am a star of Squid Game. 13 of those people are from Korea. Now, there's one Indian guy, but all right. So 12 of these people are from Korea. I worked with those people. I know those people. And I know that when I came in the morning and said, hello, how are you? They went, huh? Huh? And the translator said, ah, hi, hi. Oh, yeah. Hello. Hello. Oh, they didn't speak fucking English. Now, I just saw an article about 10 minutes ago, and I don't begrudge them their success. I'm not a player hater, but they were all just signed to the biggest talent agencies in Hollywood to make English language movies. That's not going to happen, dude.
Yeah.
Because the one component that you need for English language movies, besides being a good actor, is the ability to speak English. And they don't have that. So I just wonder what that's all about. What are you drinking there, dude? You're doing a lot of drinking.
I have a little bit of bourbon rye over here.
I knew it was something shit like that. Okay, yeah. You're not eligible. You're not eligible to join the Hare Krishnas. I'm sorry.
So that's okay. That's okay. Right before this interview, my kid shit in his diaper so bad that it blew up his back and into his hair. So I needed to pour myself a drink before this interview just to kind of.
I thank you for sharing. So anyway, these guys have all signed with big agencies.
Yeah,
I have not. The one guy that can speak English, I think pretty much, except for one or two people, I made 28 movies, you know, big movies. Mm-hmm. So like the girl. I mean, I understand she's a girl. She's 19 or 20. She never did any acting before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a weird business. It's such a bizarre, it's not logical. It's like, well, wait a minute. What do we got with the Squid? You want to get some guys from Squid Game? Yeah, let's get, well, what do you got? Well, we got 13 people that don't speak English. Anything else? Yeah, there's that other guy. What's it? Giuliano, that guy. You know the guy, the funny guy with the gay guy with the showed his ass? Well, yeah, get him. So that hasn't happened yet. And that's, I mean, I never talked about this publicly. I was just talking to my wife about it.
Yeah.
But it's not a democracy. It's a benevolent dictatorship, if you're lucky.
Right.
It's a hierarchical pyramid with a few guys at the top and a whole bunch of people at the bottom. So that's not to say I'm not doing well. I am doing very well. My particular situation was I made movie after movie after movie after movie. So Hollywood knows who I am, but the public had no idea or interest in who I am until Squid Game.
Well, let's talk about Squid Game. So obviously it came out about a month or two ago and kind of blew up out of nowhere. How did you get involved in that? When they sent you the script, like give us the origin stories of how you got involved in Squid Game.
Oh, okay. Well, I did a movie for Netflix and I was brought over to Korea to do it called Peninsula Train to Busan, which you can see right now on Netflix. And I'm very proud of that. And I did well in that and I'm happy about that. So that was very successful for me. And the director saw that movie. It's kind of a boring story, pretty obvious. He saw that movie and he said, let's ask this guy to cast. Now, this was after they couldn't find anybody in Korea to do the part. So that's where they always look first, for money reasons, probably. And so I did the casting. There was quite a bit of negotiation about money. We finally got the money where we were both comfortable with it. It was a lot more money than I've ever made.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more. So I didn't know this was going to be a big deal, but I thought, why are they giving me so much money?
Right.
But you know, you don't think too much about that. You just take the money. So then when I got there, they put me in this really fancy suite of apartments. And I thought, whoa, wow, big budget. And then I got to the set. And the set was like the Houston Astrodome. It was just a fantastically beautiful, very meticulously put together set. And I thought, okay, so this is a big deal movie. But I still, you know, but there's pretensions to that all the time. I made a movie called Mechanic Resurrection with Tommy Lee Jones, that horrible Jessica Alba and Jason Statham. So I was his trainer. I trained him how to kill when he was a little boy. I'm sure you're familiar with Jason Statham. So, I thought that was going to, I mean, hey, I'm in a movie with Tommy Lee Jones. It's going to be, it didn't do anything. Didn't do fuck. Bloom. like a lead balloon, like a lead Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So I've been there before. This isn't my first rodeo. So I thought, okay, better apartment, more money, nice sets. But I'll make it. I'll get a few, you know, that was pretty good, and then get another movie in a few months. I didn't think any shit was going to happen with this movie that has ever happened with 28 movies before. So it was a total surprise to me, and I know it was a surprise to Netflix, the director, and everybody in the cast.
Yeah.
All of those 13 of 14 people are millionaires except for one, and that's me. I'm not a millionaire. That's why I'm out humping and stumping around to do this publicity and try to get something happening, where the other people are surrounded by agents and managers. And, you know, there's another thing about people. They get a little bit successful. I got a friend who's in a kind of a big movie right now. And I said to him, for a project I'm doing, can I do an interview? And that's a friend I've known for years. He said, well, you'll have to talk to my manager. I said, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? You can't make a fucking decision for yourself.
Right.
So, well, my manager built the brand, and I'm the boss of my career. You know, call me crazy. I just do what I think is the right thing to do. Now, if somebody threw a whole bunch of money at me and said, look, you do this and you do that, I'd say, okay, sure. But until that happens, I'm just going to keep doing what I think I should do.
Hmm. Now let's talk about your big scene with
sure.
Why Ha June, if I pronounce the gentleman.
I just call him June.
Okay.
I got all that other stuff, and I just said, "How about June?" They said, "Okay."
Okay. So the whole scene where you take him aside and you disrobe and everything there—is there any kind of communication? Are you going through a translator back and forth? I want to try this and that, or is it just literally you do? You just open up and there you bare rear end.
We had no ability to try anything. We had to do exactly as we were told. We were given a storyboard, which looks like a comic book, which says he moves his hand up in front of his face. And you see that. And then you have to copy what's on that little comic book. So we had no up a little higher. No, up over to the left in front of your eye. Just show one eye. So this is. We had no artistic latitude to do anything but say exactly what was on the paper, move our bodies exactly as we were told, into millimeters. No, Jeffrey, move your hand up. No, up about 2 millimeters, now back one. You know, it was so specific, and I've never made a movie like that before. And it's not my favorite way of making movies. In Peninsula, Train to Busan, I just did whatever I wanted, and they loved it, you know? But those are things that are reserved for stars. I'm an actor. I'm not a star. So despite what Newsweek called me a global star, I wish I was a fucking global star. But anyway, so there were many things I can tell you about that. Number one, I didn't know I had to do a nude scene until I got there because I didn't read the script. I just did my casting and they gave it to me and I put it down and I did other shit. And then when I got there, I thought, well, I'll read it when I get there. So they said, are you ready for your big scene, Mr. Giuliano? And I said, yep. And they said, okay, so don't worry. We'll have someone there to put a blanket around you when you take off your clothes. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Well, you know, when you show your penis to the whole world, whoa, what are you talking about, man? Haven't you read the script, Mr. Giuliano? I have not. Well, here's the script, and this is what you have to do, and there's 300 people waiting for you to do it tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So I said, well, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? You want the money or not? And then I said, yeah, I want the money. I'll do it. But I negotiated that robe. There was no robes in there. That robe was negotiated solely by me for all of the VIPs. So I came up with the idea for the robe, and the director didn't want that. He just wanted nudity. And I said, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll have the robe and drop it and show my ass, but I'm not showing my penis or anything like that. So I just shut that down. So we went ahead and did it like that. And that actor was inches away from my genitalia. It wasn't like a camera angle. They could have done it like that where he was 4 feet back, but the way they shoot the camera, it looks like he's right there. But no, he was right there. And I felt sorry for him. I took four shots. I took showers. I was supposed to be there at 11. I took showers starting at 7 o'clock and stayed in that shower till like 9:30 with soap and soap and soap and deodorant and all. But I'm sure that with those lights and everything, that there was some odor there. I mean, I'm pretty sure about it, you know? And it was really, I just wanted to get the thing over with, man.
Yeah.
You know? And fortunately, we just did it in a couple takes. It wasn't hard. It was pretty easy to do. If you can satisfy me in 5 minutes, I'll change your life. I mean, it's not Shakespeare. It's not difficult to do. And he pretended, people say, did he really, did it hurt when he grabbed it? No, he didn't do it. He didn't grab anything. Yeah. He just put his hand there. And then I went, you know, that's what we do. We're actors.
Yeah.
So he was a nice guy. He's been voted the sexiest man alive and stuff. God bless him. You know, he seemed like a pretty cool guy. I have nothing bad to say about anybody, but he was a good guy and I enjoyed working with him. He was, there was one thing I had learned to see. Nobody ever told me that you have to say exactly what's written in the script or we'll stop the take. So I just learned it the way I normally do, which is I learn about 80% of it as a skeletal structure. And then I'm free to say, you know, whatever I want to say on top of that.
Act it a little bit. Yeah.
And they said, oh, cut. Why? You forgot to say and. And this went on. And finally I went, what difference does it make? And then 300 people were quiet, like looking at the floor, because it doesn't make any fucking difference. But unless you start making shit up and then they can't match up the different takes. You know, if you say something, the sun is blue in one take, and then you say the sun is red, they can't match that up and cut it together. So as long as you're coherent, you can do a little bit, but they didn't want that shit. So I did what they wanted me to do because I'm the employee and I'm getting paid. So, and then we get into like, well, what about this? Oh, I got some criticism for making 269 jokes. I didn't make any 69 jokes. It was in the script. I had to do what was, I had to perform what I was paid to perform.
Right.
I'm happy to be in, I'm happy, very, very happy and grateful to be famous. But I just saw Keith Richards saying, fame, it doesn't make money. The fame has not much value, you know? So I'm a really famous guy, but I'm waiting for the fucking money, you know, waiting for the money. Money hasn't showed up yet.
Yeah.
Now, is it coming in? Are you going to be back for season two?
I think so. Because from what the director told a friend of mine was, it's not going to be a prequel. It's going to pick it up from where it left off for the people that aren't dead. And I'm not dead.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I think.
Let me ask you, what was your reaction when this thing shot to the moon really quickly? Like, what was your reaction? Oh my God. Like, okay. You said it yourself. I read the script 80%. Didn't really know what was going on. I kind of liked it. But then when you see that it comes out on Netflix and it basically explodes, becomes the like number one trending thing in the world at one point. What is your reaction to that? Like, oh boy. I thought
I'm going to make a lot more movies. Whenever there's a thing that I'm a little bit paranoid about this shit. Like when I'm on the movie set, I think, fuck, because I love making movies so much.
Yeah.
I love acting so much that I don't want anyone to take it away from me. So I want to make as many. If somebody said you can spend a week at home, but the rest of the time you're going to go around the world making movies, I'd say, okay, because I love doing it. So I know how to do it. You know, it's something I know. I don't know too much, but I know how to be an actor. So I love this thing. And I used to think, fuck, man, you know, this is probably my last movie. They probably won't hire me again. I know I'm going to make more movies. Now, I was just saying I haven't gotten any movies yet, but I'll get some movies.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll get some movies. I've got a pretty big part in the most popular thing that's ever been on TV. So, of course, I'll get some movies. But they haven't come quite as quickly as I thought. And I understand what that is they're concentrating on those Korean people. But one of my managers said something interesting. Hey, Jeff, this piece is not about actors like The Godfather is Marlon Brando. This is not what that is. This is a piece about the interest for the public is the story. Right. The actors are no one's ever heard of any of the actors.
Right.
There's no maybe in Korea they're stars, but you don't know who those people are. So it's generic actors, but a really good story. They could have used you. They could have used the guy next door. They could have used me. It didn't really matter that much. So I agree with that. That it, the star of the show was the concept and the script, and the actors were secondary consideration. And all of them are generic to the Western mind and Western people. So it could have been really any. If they put another Korean in there or another old gay guy in there, I'm not gay, but I played one on TV. So it wouldn't have mattered. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have mattered. It doesn't matter. They could have got 1,000 actors to do that part that I did. And I'm sure 1,000 actors, 10,000, a million actors would have loved to have done it.
Right.
But it's such a funny business. So what I think about the success is that I'll make more movies, that I'll make some more money. Look, I'm over 60 and I have a 14-year-old son. So most people don't do that. And so I had a son when I was 55. So I have big responsibility to make sure he's well-educated and prepared for life. So I have to make, you know, good money. And yeah, okay, I'm not going to lie to you. Actors make more money than the average bear when they work. And I'm very good and careful with money. But you got to pay attention. It's a constant, I don't know, this looking for work all the time, you know. It's like you can get to a level where it's a snowball. Like, okay, right now, I have unlimited opportunities to get publicity, and I take it. And I tell people it doesn't matter that, like, I just did one yesterday for the London Times, and today I'm doing you.
Right.
I don't see it. I don't. Now, there's a difference between you and the London Times.
Right.
And
the London Times wishes they were us. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but I don't look at it like that.
Right.
So all little component parts of the puzzle, you know. And so I didn't understand that when I was young. That why am I doing something in Pittsburgh and whatever? No. First of all, the internet equalizes everybody.
You're right.
Has the same chance as the London Times, whatever. So I do everything that I'm asked to do, and anyone out there that wants me to come on, I'm happy to come on and do it, because it keeps the ball rolling. And this idea, look, unless you're Brad Pitt, unless you're an A-lister, and I'm probably a C-lister, unless you're an A-lister who have people that do all this for them, you got to do it yourself. You have to take the responsibility of your life and career yourself, and you have to push that motherfucker out, and you have to do it. I manage my own career, and I'm not too sure that I'd be really interested if I were a big star in the future to give that up. One of the things I do is when fans approach me, as much as time allows, I will get back to them. You know, I'm good, because what are you going to do without fans? You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've had some weird, I've had some stuff about a lot of this. You weren't satisfied in 5 minutes. I can satisfy you in less than 5 minutes. So I've had sexual invitations from men and women. And then the other day,
you got Mike's email.
No, but he's apparently got mine, because I've been getting all these dick pics for the last 2 days from this guy.
So we got you on. So,
so anyway, listen to this. Day before yesterday, I got one saying, I want to satisfy you. And it was a 13-year-old kid. So I just pushed block.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry I even read it. You know, sometimes you, what is that? What? 13 years old? Block. So, you know, it's really, there's some weird shit. I also got some death threats. I got 3 death threats as well. Hmm. Someone said, I got death threats. There's crazy people out there, man, obviously. Ask John Lennon. I got somebody saying they're going to cut me up in little pieces and throw me off the pier. Don't think you're such a big shot because you are in a movie. I can still cut you up in little pieces and throw you off the pier. So there's all kinds of stuff that happens on this. There's a dark side to this fame stuff. You know,
well, we want you to get more roles.
Thank you.
Enjoy everything.
We do.
A little less of the fans that are like under 18 and want to
talk
and stuff. Yeah, like man. That. So, Jeffrey, if people want to get a hold of you or ask you for anything, where can they contact you at?
JeffreyGiuliano.com. GeoFFrey. GIULIANO.com. Go to the contact page, and all the ways to contact me are there. I have a Facebook page called VIP for Squid Game Universe, which is the only Facebook page which is hosted by a member of the cast.
Nice.
So if you go there, you can we can hang out. My Instagram is Jeffrey Actor, GeoffreyActor. You can reach me there. Or conversely, a TikTok, which I really, you know, it's not really a thing for over 60 guys, you know.
Yeah.
Too much, you know? Yeah. But, you know, I was like, hey, I'm dancing in my bedroom, you know. I really don't understand TikTok. But anyway, that's Squid Game Confidential is the handle there. So, yeah, I'm doing all this stuff, but and I don't want you to give you any idea that I'm negative about anything, but I'm realistic. And I'm in this business. It's called show business. It's not called show fun. I'll also tell you that I'm doing lots of Comic Cons. I'll be doing Comic Cons.
Very nice.
And unlike other people at Comic Cons, I've got together with the writers of The Simpsons, and I'm doing a 10 to 15 minute stand up comedy routine on Squid Game. I'll be doing that. I actually put on a show there. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool things happening. I've gotten a lot of the Comic Cons I've signed up. I can do those as long as I want. What I haven't gotten is a movie, and what I want to get is a movie. And my agent said, just calm down. Let everybody get all excited about the Koreans. It's a new phenomena to have Korean stars in America. Let it filter down and bubble under, and then everybody knows you were in there. Believe me. And then, you know, I don't know if you know this, but 25% of the planet saw Squid Game.
Wow.
That's amazing. That ain't bad.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for your time. I wish you the best of luck with your career and whatever creative things you're doing in the future. And
I appreciate that.
Stay safe out there, and we hope to see you and get you on the show again in a year and talk about what you got coming up. So thank you so much, man.
Yeah, anytime, and I'm sorry to hear about your son, the little shithead.
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems to be a common theme on the show. But
and he just turned 35, right?
Yeah. That's actually my son right there. Yeah.
Sorry about that, Pops.
Mike, is it true that you had an audition for VIP number 7?
Yeah, they just said, like, you're too... I mean, we know you are the VIP, so you would just make the other VIPs look inferior in theory. So they just said, we'll just have to fly you out to Korea another time to get this done and all. Maybe another off... I might have my own Korean series down the road, so...
The Burlew Korean series. Now, will you be speaking Korean or you speak English?
I mean, I'll be speaking Korean, and there'll be two types of closed captioning. There'll be the translation of what I wanted to say and the translation of what I actually said. So you can do a little compare and contrast while you see the people just kind of, you know, their eyebrows going down, looking at me like, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Are you special? Are you aware of how to use language in any way?
But yeah, Jeffrey and Giuliano, everybody. Mike, actually, last week when we had speaking of language, when we had Jonathan Antoine on again, you gave him a little Italian language quiz. Our good listener Dom said that. What did he say? He said, tell Burlew I understand all of his Italian except for reindeer names.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you and all. Now when you, I said it perfectly. So when you go to Italy, you better say it the way I said it or, you know, you're just going to look foolish. I mean, I know it's springtime, but there's nothing bigger of an icebreaker than to just start saying reindeer names.
Yeah, I mean, he said, he said he really liked the episode, and I said, how bad did he butcher the language? He said, pretty bad, but so do I. So I guess you fit right in with the Italians, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least the Jersey Italians, you know?
I'll bring him along, you know. I'll take him some places in Sicily. Don't worry, Tom. I got your back.
I had some interesting feedback on that episode. I know that we didn't really get into it too much at the beginning of the show because we were I was kind of ranting a little bit about the the poo explosion that I dealt with, but I've calmed down. I've got through it. We had a lot of focus, Mike, on your consumption of eggnog became a hot topic on the internet.
Really?
As far as in Verbal Shenanigans land, as far as interaction. A lot of people saying, I don't know about the nog. Too much nog. Someone commented nog heads. Someone said eggnog's not for me. Someone said I'm still listening to their talk about eggnog, patiently waiting for Jonathan Antoine to come on.
You want to get to Jonathan Antoine, you wait for me to finish my thoughts on eggnog. That is a guarantee, ladies and gentlemen. I will not just pass you over to the interview and all. I got things to say, and you need to hear it.
I even was digging at some of our fans saying, ooh, now Mike is very upset with you because someone said nog, too much nog talk. I don't like eggnog. Eggnog's terrible. And they actually asked me if he's not happy, I'll delete the post. I don't want to be upset and be exiled from the Verbalians. Mike, you pissed off Groovy Joan. I did.
I mean, she is the first Verbalian by rule, so I will leave you in as an OG, Joan. But they're nice. You get your first, you get a verbal warning right now. Don't make me get to the write-up.
Wow.
Because you know what happens on the third strike.
I got one of those write-ups once, and I haven't recovered financially since. So.
Scott, I mean, sometimes you got to recognize when I have some things to say and not interrupt. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, we also would like to thank everybody for the interactions from all over the world. And it seems it was very well received yet again. So thank you, Mike. I had someone message me a picture of their feet in a pedicure bowl, saying that he was listening to Verbal Shenanigans while getting a pedicure. So that might be the first also for the show.
Yeah, I feel more bathing should be involved while listening to the cast, Scott. And any body part. You don't have to go full body, but something should be.
So in your head, someone just with headphones on washing their junk is the way you picture our podcast being listened to.
Yeah, if you're listening to us, like in the car, open up the sunroof and pray rain comes down on you.
Right.
Okay. That way you can truly understand that cleanliness goes with shenaniganness.
Oh, we're losing all the fans we made from last week by the minute. We're talking about poop. What? We're talking about you want people bathing while listening. I don't know where we're going with this show. It seems like we're just going down the toilet, literally.
Well, I mean, if you go in any direction, I'll go no this way. And you're like, that doesn't make sense. I'm like, I know.
Out of curiosity, you watched all of the Squid Game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which of those games you think you had would have a shot at passing?
Passing? I think it's hard to say red light, green light by rule. You'd say I have a chance, but after like the first person shot, it's hard to not say I wouldn't flinch.
Right.
Like going down the list, like the cookie thing, I'd be concerned with because I probably would have took the umbrella because I'm like, I like umbrellas.
I like umbrellas. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Let's see.
Marbles.
I would have a chance on the marbles.
Yeah.
Depending on my team, I'd have a shot with tug of war. I mean, anybody would. It's really dependent on the team.
Yeah. The glass one, I feel like there's just no chance. I mean, that's just pure luck, basically.
I had a theory on this. Like, they all took off their shoes.
Right.
So why didn't they just, like, one shoe at a time, like, hit the glass? Because nobody said you couldn't reuse your shoes.
Now, were they able to reach it, like with their arm? Like, I like your theory. But you need enough.
I think so, because, I mean, it has to be, like, a minor step. It's still glass.
Right.
So even if it's, like, the hardened stuff, like, it can't be too far away, because you'd just be slipping off, or if you're like speeding into it, you would break it, I would assume.
Then again, if you like your life is on the line, I don't know how clear your strategy is, you know, communicating with the other 20 people or whatever it was in that event. You know, So I guess that could have possibly worked.
Yeah. And I guess I could do good at Squid Game because you're just beating the crap out of each other. It wasn't really a game. It
was, yeah.
Like, I don't even know why they started the game to begin with. It's like they're stabbing each other in the throat. I don't feel we need to look at the rules yet.
Now, if there was another round added to it, what childhood game would you like to throw in there?
Childhood game. Maybe tag with like electricity involved. Like that way, like if like three or four people on base, you know, it's like electricity. I didn't make it to base, but I got to them first.
I just like, you're like, maybe tag with electricity involved. Okay, Pinky in the Brain over there.
I'm sure to be a sign when they use actual electricity. Who knows,
hopscotch with fire. Manhunt with guns.
But if I was running the Squid Game, as in like making these events, I would make an event where you just in like a car simulator.
Yeah.
And you have to get to a spot within like a certain amount of time, because I want to get rid of all the people who take like 3 minutes to take off after it's a green light. Everybody who takes 4 minutes to get to the speed limit when it's 35 miles an hour. We just got to get rid of those certain people. So
you would be in favor of like a national Squid Game where we just thin the herd. Absolutely. Okay.
Like anytime I deal with people at 4 o'clock driving home, I feel a Squid Game must be emergency called.
So like my mom, pretty slow driver, doesn't turn. So you're just like, okay, I don't care. Let's get rid of her from my commute.
Yeah, like I'll be calling you, dude, I didn't know she was up there. My bad. I'll console you at the funeral.
Yeah. All right. So national Squid Game policy. I got it. Okay, I got it. Mike, before we go, I want to play a little game here.
Ooh.
So I don't know if we've, I don't know, it's been so long, I don't know if we've actually done this before. I know we've talked about it. But this whole conversation, I was out for my dad has this little like holiday Thanksgiving, like guys night out for years, but it's just a dinner basically. And some of my friends were there. I was talking about how much I want to see Ghostbusters. I think it looks really good. I'm happy to hear the reviews are good. I'm really just trying to avoid any kind of like conversation or watch anything on it. I don't want anything spoiled, because it's one of the rare, like, do you even call it a sequel anymore? I don't know, like at that point, adaptation of it.
I would say it would be kind of I guess by rule it would be a sequel because it's in the universe of the original. I wouldn't call it a reboot.
So
I would say it's in the universe is the best way to say it. The story's in there.
Okay. So we started talking about it, and we started getting on a conversation about actors and who's good and who's not and what have they done in a long time. So this is a little segment, Mike. I like to call it overrated.
Okay.
Who you think, you know, people are loved and accepted by millions, like, you know, it has to be, and who you think, like, I'm just not into, okay? So I guess I will start and segue right out of that conversation with a big one, okay? Now, it had to do with Ghostbusters. To me, this man gets so much love that he's almost become like he can do no wrong kind of guy.
Is it me?
No. You get no love and do a ton of wrong. But you think you're beloved. You're a different category. Yeah, different.
Oh, and that would be different. Yeah, continue.
Now, remember, this is overrated. This does not mean that I do not like these people, some of them, or things. It's just, it's not cool. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this guy, people put him on, like, their Mount Rushmore. People post pictures of him, anything he says. And I'm sitting there trying to think back, like, this guy hasn't been in that many amazing movies. He doesn't do work a ton. I gotta throw Bill Murray on my overrated list. He's almost built this persona where people love, aura is a good word, where he's just so beloved that he could do no wrong. But I'm starting to think, like, okay, Ghostbusters, one of my favorite movies ever. Caddyshack, very funny. Caddyshack. He's not the main, you know. You know, Lost in Translation was kind of good. Ground Day is good. His SNL stuff. But where is the volume from this guy that he's getting this much love forever? I'm not a big fan of, like, the Life Aquatic. It was okay. I don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts on Bill Murray?
I think we could base a lot of the love stemming from that scene in Zombieland where it's like, Bill freaking Murray. And yeah. Like, it almost became like the joke became real life.
I know, but that love was building before that. You know, like I think that's why everyone was like, oh my God, he's in it. You know, like it's Bill Murray.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because my thought process is he built that resume for a while in the 80s where he doesn't need to be the main where I would feel he has to, like, go to that level to stay up that side. Stripes is another movie.
Stripes, okay.
Great movie right there. Can I understand people saying, okay, he maybe a little too much love? Yeah, but I would only tick him down a little bit. Like, I wouldn't bring him down a level where it's like, he's average at best.
He's funny in Kingpin. He was funny.
It was a good movie. Yeah. So I would say he deserves a level, but if you bring him down only a certain amount.
Yeah. So he's one of my controversy guys because I feel like he's so beloved that it's like talking about somebody's mother or father at this point. They're so in love with him. And I'm like, yeah, he's good. He's funny. I like him. But I don't know if he deserves this status of like when I think of like the greatest actors of all time. I'm not throwing Bill Murray up there.
Not the greatest actors of all time, but like did a good job. I'd say, yeah, like if you have him at worst, I'd say A minus, a B plus.
Okay.
That's the best way I can say it. He's not C level. He's done enough to be at a higher upper echelon.
Mike, do you have an actor?
Yeah, as I was looking over.
It doesn't have, there's really any category. We're just, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to say Keanu Reeves.
Wow. Okay.
Kind
of on board with you here.
Like, everybody brings up The Matrix, but it was one out of three good movies.
Exactly. I think the fourth one looks terrible. I think it looks like, it's like, oh, he's back in The Matrix again. And here's some black guy that looks like Lawrence Fishburne again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, he's taking blue pills to not know about The Matrix.
Yep. And it's going to pop back up, and he's going to go in.
Let's see. I mean, Bill and Ted. First one was great. Second one was,
I mean, I'll throw Speed. I liked Speed when I was young. I don't know if that holds up at all. I don't know.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's kind of cool the bus jump, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think that works.
Yeah.
I feel like
he's in a very Bill Murray.
And then I guess John Wick, everybody's saying. I never got in any of the movies.
Yeah, I thought it was theirs, okay.
But
yeah.
I haven't heard anything where it's like, this is so much different than any other action.
I haven't seen the other two. Was there three out there? I've only seen the first one. It was entertaining, but I kind of agree with you.
I mean, it's one of those, I don't hate on him, but like anybody's like, oh, we got to see the new Keanu movie. It's like, no.
Yeah, I think he for a while he was almost like the butt of the jokes because he was kind of like the stupid, like, hey, yeah, guy. And then he just like people just talked about what a nice guy and a cool guy is, and he had a band and stuff like that. So I think those two are dead on because they're very similar. Like they have this status and not tons and tons of work, but I think it's more about their personalities off screen that people must love about them so much. I'm going to agree with you there on that one.
All right.
He's not on the upper echelon of actors for me. I'll check something out with him in there, but Mike, athletes I found to be an easy category. A couple that I was just like putzing around looking at was Pistol Pete. You know, he gets all this acclaim for, and then like in the NBA he was not even good. But it's hard for me to say because it was kind of before our time a little bit. But if you look at like his like he barely had a stint in the NBA. He was kind of just like, eh, and there's Pistol Pete, you know, and he's, you know, revered.
Yeah, he's like in the top hundreds and like everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got to add him.
Yeah.
I think Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Joe Namath. He's another one. Like his career stats are pretty terrible.
One game with a guarantee. That is his entire
and a personality. Career. A personality.
Yeah.
So he had a career with 173 touchdowns, 220 interceptions, and a 65 quarterback rating. Meaning Rex Grossman, Tim Couch, Quincy Carter, and David Carr all had superior quarterback ratings to him.
Those are legends.
Yeah. So. But I'm going to throw the big fish out there again. Let me preface this by saying this doesn't mean they are not a great player. I just think the accolades and the public love is a little over what he may have done. And I'm going to throw Derek Jeter out there.
I can see that. I mean, I can't take away anything.
Listen,
Derek, that he did as in like getting to the World Series and stuff like that. But he seemed more like the emotional leader,
right?
Versus the all right, game's on the line, get Derek up there.
The face of the franchise, said everything right, looked the part, played the part, never did anything wrong, and he was a winner. He was a winner, of course he was. Those gold gloves he got, wasn't even the best shortstop on his team most of those years. No. Alex Rodriguez. The gold gloves were like, here, Derek, you're just amazing person and winner. We're going to give you some gold. You throw some gold gloves in there. And the argument is always, you take Derek Jeter off those Yankee teams, does he win championships like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. So, again, is he a Hall of Famer? 100%. Is he one of the greatest Yankees as far as the love for him and the winning? 100%. Is he – he should not even be brought up in a conversation of greatest baseball players because there's just so many.
He kind of reminds me, as a Phillies fan, like Chase Utley. Like, Utley was like a grinder, like the city loved him, but like I'd be on post and somebody's like, Chase Utley's a Hall of Famer. I'm like, oh, he's very good.
Position might get him in. Second base is a good hitting second baseman is rare. So he did put up some serious numbers in that. Speaking of that, Ryan Howard on the Hall of Fame ballot this year.
I don't mind it in the sense he got an MVP. He was Rookie of the Year. He led the league in home runs one year. It's enough to say he deserves to be on the ballot. But like when they put Coco Crisp on the Hall of Fame ballot, I'm like, who the hell requested that?
The cereal or the play? this is a pretty crazy ballot coming up. If those guys don't get in, they don't get in. All the steroid guys, like AKA the best baseball players ever to play the game. It's pretty crazy.
It's not going to get in.
Clemens.
Not going to get in. Clemens not getting Bonds. In. Wire's not getting in. Bonds, it was funny when it went to like the I went up to Cooperstown once and like the only thing I saw, like there's a picture of him since he's the home run leader.
Yep.
But like Barry Bonds, paraffin items, it's like the Washington Nationals cap he wore as the hitting coach. It's like that happened.
They could literally delete if they want half of Barry Bonds' career, and he should be first ballot Hall of Famer. Just delete half his career then, if that's what you want to say.
Just admit it. It's like we weren't looking at steroids. All this happened, kind of like people push back and we had to care about it, but you could still say we understand them.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Mike, you got an athlete on there? Or a different category works too.
I mean, for athlete, we can add Lynn Swann because if he didn't play in the Super Bowl, he had no stats.
Yep.
Frank Gore seems like a weird one too. He's up in the highest of everything, but it's because he basically was
staying
born
healthy
on the field and just kept going.
Yeah.
He's not terrible in any way. He had some great years, but nothing where people are like, that's upper echelon.
It's a good one.
For him.
It's a good one.
I got one category for you for this overrated stuff that I just thought of like coming into this.
Okay.
like couple slash grouping, like two people that work together. Like everybody's like, it's the most amazing thing. And it really isn't.
I'll tell you why.
And I know that might be a hard one, but this is the one I got with right away, and I'll tell you why I got it. The Rock and Kevin Hart.
I like that combo. What classics are we talking about here? Yeah.
But I mean, it's one of those, I understand, like, they're buddies. They do buddy films and stuff like that. Kind of like Matt Damon and
Ben Affleck.
And Affleck and stuff like that. But like today, I saw the trailer for the DC Super Pets, and The Rock is playing Crypto the dog, and like Kevin Hart's playing like a different bulldog. And they don't change their voices anyway. It doesn't sound like acting anyway. Or I'm just like, boy, you love each other, but give it a rest. I mean, that's all we're getting with you two.
Yeah, I could say that. There's nothing I'm like, ah, that was a classic. I want to put that on again. But I almost think that we're not in that market, Mike. That, I think they're all about like basically like kids and young adults like might see them as fun. I think we might be missing out on that. I just don't see it either. When I was thinking couples, I'm like Sonny and Cher, terrible. They don't put nothing they did was good.
Dad, I got you, babe, and thank you.
Yeah. Not a big fan. Yeah, I agree with that, Mike. I'm gonna go with an overrated food. Overrated food. I can't get into that much. I mean, I'll eat one if it's there every once in a while, but I'm not a big fan of cupcakes. Not a big fan. Like, okay, I'd rather have the, like, what does most people do? They love the top of the cupcake. It's like the muffin of desserts, you know, like, or the muffin of cake. Just give me a whole cake, if you will. And I think what really drives me crazy is, like, the shows on, like, Food Network, like, Great Cupcake Wars. Let's make a castle out of cupcake. I'm like, why? I'm just never in my life. I'm like, after work, I'm like, oh, it's a long day. You know, I just, God, I need a cupcake.
Like, you want a drink, honey? No, just open the cupcake drawer.
Yeah.
Bring them out.
I'd rather have a donut. I'd rather have a piece of apple pie. Like, cupcake is very low on the list for me.
Like, now you're talking, I kind of get it. Because, like, if you went to a place and they list out desserts and cupcakes are on there, I can't fathom a scenario where I'm like, boom.
Yeah, give me a cupcake. Yeah, exactly. And I've tasted a bunch of cupcakes, some better than others, but I'm never like, oh, my God, this cupcake is so much superior to the other bakery. Like, to me, they're all kind of like, okay, that's pretty good. It's got some good icing, maybe some, I don't know, maybe it's got some nuts shaved on the top or I don't. But, like, I'm never blown away by a cupcake.
If I had to go, I mean, everybody talks about it, especially around, like, picnic times, 4th of July, Labor Day. Everybody has a recipe. Everybody tells me when I'm like, nah, I'm not really into it. They're like, no, you haven't tried mine. And I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure the results there.
Okay.
How about with baked beans?
Ah, baked beans. Yeah. I see a lot of baked beans having a very similar vibe. Like, they kind of taste the same. I tried a bunch of different ones, and they're, I don't know, it tastes like beans and barbecue sauce, essentially. Like, you know,
And then,
I like them. But
I put bacon in mine. It's like, well, I'll like the bacon. Not changing my thoughts on your baked beans right there.
Yeah, I agree. Not like it's nothing I seek out. Like we probably still have like two cans of baked beans in the fridge and in the cupboard that we're like, we'll throw these on as a side. But I'm never like, man, I need some beans in my life. I need some baked beans, you know.
Baby, I just got a promotion. You open that can of baked beans right now.
Yeah.
And we're going out and celebrating.
You know how there's like a little shop for everything nowadays? I can't see like a artisanal baked bean shop just being like, just staying open. I feel like it would close pretty quickly.
Now you can see it's a pop-up, though. That's a sad thing. Now that you send it out in the world, it's like our Moon Jail movie. Somebody's out there. It's like, it's mine now.
I got one more. Well, I will mention beforehand that, like, when I think of musicians, for me, it's always Kiss is the answer because I can't stand Kiss. So just by proxy, like anything with Kiss is overrated. But they are like probably the most overrated band to me because I think they have like, yeah, maybe I'll sing God Give Rock and Roll to You and Detroit Rock City I can get into. But other than that, I think they're terrible. And like their makeup and fireworks are what covered up for their horrific music. But
Yeah, I would say they worked in the 70s. Like then they saw like they weren't working in the 80s, so they tried out of makeup. And then just by them doing it by rule, everybody's like, no, put on the makeup. So then, oh, they're popular again. Yeah, like, yeah. I kind of see it. I worked with a guy who was like obsessed with
Kiss. I know, me too.
All the concerts and all. Side note, that was the guy who tried to swing with me.
So. Oh, wouldn't it be great if you said yes, and then like, not only is it awkward to swing, but like he was in full Kiss garb. Like,
yeah.
It looked like Gene Simmons just like, hello, like twirling his tongue.
When like, everybody's wearing like the gowns and full outfits. It's like, I was just curious what other people were like. I don't know about this.
But I'm going to go with it's not just one movie. I'm talking like a series of movies in a way that I find incredibly overrated. And I think our generation holds these kind of way too high in my regards. But I'm talking Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, the Brat Pack era John Hughes movies. Like, I don't find that much rewatch value in them. I see them on now. I'm like, whatever, TBS or something in the middle of the day. And I'm never like, I got to watch all of Pretty in Pink right now. it just doesn't connect to me anymore. And I never held them in that. Maybe Breakfast Club I liked a little when I was younger. The other ones did nothing for me.
Yeah, and I think Pretty in Pink, there was like some kind of scene of which would be considered sexual assault nowadays, if I recall.
Okay.
I could have sworn it was like the girl was going to give herself up to one guy, and it was just like, no, I'm good. And he almost offered
her
to another guy, if I recall. One of the movies is like that. So
that's also the last Squid Game event.
Now we could shoot you, or hear me out. Put on this Kiss makeup and go over there.
But yeah,
okay.
Not none of those are my favorite movies.
Okay, as in for like big time movies, had never saw Avatar, had no desire to watch it. Anytime somebody says something. A movie's like 3.5 hours. There's a 98% chance.
I know. I have to like mentally prep for like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, like when I heard the last Avengers one was 3.5 hours. I'm like, I gotta see it, but then I'm just like, all right, how am I gonna do my bathroom? Like, how do I stretch the bathroom break and
I know
keep my mind into a good movie, but like it still, for lack of a better term, stressed me out. Not huge into wartime movies.
No?
Nothing really comes to mind where I'm like, yeah, that was great. There are
even Saving Private Ryan? You're going to throw that under the bus? That's a good one.
Throw it under the bus. It was all right, but nothing of rewatchability.
Wow.
Like maybe like a Full Metal Jacket. That's one thing, but...
Full Metal Jacket, it's like... Give me the first half of the movie, and then I could just I don't need to see the rest. Like the actual Vietnam part, I'm like, you know, this is fine. But the barracks and the training, amazing.
Yeah, just get me to the drill sergeant scene. I'm good.
Yep,
right there.
Wow, yeah, wartime movies, not for Mike. Interesting.
Nothing huge to know and all right there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. All right. Well, I kind of agree on most of them. Probably, maybe I do like a good war movie. I will say I do like a good war movie. But those are some of the things that have gone through my head as far as overrated. So I'm sorry, Bill Murray. We're sorry, Keanu. We're sorry, Cupcakes. you didn't make the cut today.
And I'll throw in one more person just for the fun of it.
Okay.
And this person fills out overrated in a lot of categories. Jennifer Lopez.
Hmm. Wow.
Like, if you say what's the best thing from Jennifer Lopez, I'm going to say Fly Girl.
I was gonna say her ass, but I will digress there.
I mean, outside of Jenny from the Block, and even then, it's like once you hear it once, it's like, all right, I don't want earworming. Like any of her TV stuff or movies, nothing comes to mind where I'm like, yeah, I gotta watch that. It's just
she
give her all the credit in the world for her business savvy and making money with A-Rod, but as for like people are like, I love J-Lo.
It would have sure been interesting if her and A-Rod did get the bid for the Mets and then broke up immediately after. It would be a typical Mets fractured relationship right off the bat. But I wanted J-Lo. I said it before because she knows how to win rings, you know?
Can you imagine if they broke up and as part of the divorce, she's like, I want all the great players from the farm system. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to get this 36-year-old catcher.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it is time to go, guys. It is time to go. Another great episode here. So I want to thank Jeffrey Giuliano for coming on, and obviously go check out Squid Game. They don't need us to promote that. But
yeah. I'm not sure, Scott. I think they might appreciate a couple extra views thanks to Verbal Shenanigans. Yeah.
After this episode comes out, it's gonna be double the amount of views on Netflix there. So,
easily.
Mike, anything to promote before we get out of here?
Well, I want to thank Chris Wilson for hooking us up with this interview tonight with Jeffrey Giuliano. And let's remind everyone that you can listen to him and our podcast and many other podcasts on the Podcast City Network. The Podcast City Network has over 20 podcasts covering movies, sports, wrestling, and films, such as the Final Score Sports Podcast, Movie Nights, Fixed Edge, the Deleted Wrestling Podcast, and of course, Verbal Shenanigans. Go to www.podcastcity.net and check out the full list of podcasts.
Awesome. And I will promote the last Verbal Shenanigans comedy show of the year, our little right before Christmas show, December 16th at Tap House 15. Again, these shows sell out immediately. So please, if you're interested coming into Jefferson, New Jersey, Tap House 15 is some of the best food, best beer you're going to get around, and great comedy. Joe Fernandez is our headliner from the All in Our Heads podcast, along with Joe Conti, Sharon Simon, and KP Burke, our friend from the American Loser podcast. So, I will also be performing there, but that's not important. So, guys, other than that, please give us some likes, give us some love, some follows on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. And most of all, please share our podcast with your friends, family, and maybe even give it to them as a gift for Christmas this year. So, guys, other than that, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Okay, Scott, here's my top 10 under.